Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very senior and a tall leader, a very accomplished professional from New York, USA, Mr. Bill Fiss. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ash, very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. Bill is the founder and president of Early Career Executive Coaching. He's a 40-plus year career veteran with Citi as an HR executive, where he managed human resources globally for several of Citi's largest consumer and institutional businesses. So, Bill, before we talk human resources and coaching, tell me about your own journey in brief. And after a successful corporate career, what motivated you to become a coach?
Yeah. Ash, great question. You know, I've always had a passion for management and leadership. And, you know, in my university years, I, you know, helped lead and manage several things and found my way to Citi. And HR was not always top of mind. But as I looked at the combination, I have an MBA from university, et cetera, so I'm business oriented, but always the passion of mine has been the combination of being a business executive with a focus on people. And I've always enjoyed that. And so my career, as you mentioned, has been 98% managing HR and various divisions at Citi. I worked on the business side as well. Went to university in South Florida here in the States, and, you know, feel quite proud that with all the ups and downs in financial services, I was able to do four decades there before retiring. So it's been a good journey.
Absolutely. So let's talk human resources. And Bill, you know, you and I are probably a similar vintage. I remember when I started in 1979, human resources wasn't even coined. It was personnel management.
Yes.
So my first question to you is, how has the field of human resources evolved over the last four decades at Citi?
Yeah, dramatically so. And to your point, you know, when I started, I would call it generally an administrative function, right? It was called personnel, as you probably recall, right? And where it sat in the organization and its ability to influence was, I'll say respectfully, marginal, right? Yeah. But as it's grown, and if you go and you bring it all the way to today, over the years, you know, quite frankly, Ash, today, I think HR and human capital strategy is probably one of the most significant aspects of whether or not a company is going to succeed, right? And I'm a very strong believer in the alignment between an integrated HR strategy and a business strategy. And the companies that are, quote, high performing, if you will, they get it right. They understand. So whether it's I often say HR is a set of disciplines just as professional as accounting or risk or finance or a business strategy. So not all firms today, but many have truly understood the importance of a human capital strategy and how that impacts business success.
Great response. And you're so right. Now, you know, the CHRO is a very critical C-suite member and a very trusted member of CEOs. But next question for you, Bill, is that how has technology started to change HR practices and employee engagement strategies?
Yeah, also quite relevant and prevalent. You know, HR systems or HRIS information systems, as we call it, have evolved, right? Yeah. Today, Ash, the tools, the platforms, the data, the metrics that an organization can enjoy because of technology advances is quite significant and certainly much more advanced than it was when I first started there. You know, I can give you a quick example.
Please.
Again, high-performing companies today, with some AI help as well, have the ability to proactively reach out to internal employees around their job history for career development. And instead of the employee applying for open roles, the technology today would allow best-in-class companies to proactively reach out and say, Ash, did you realize you have 95% of the skills for this job we just posted.
Wow.
Would you be interested, right? But that requires a very extensive data analytics, right? AI driven, et cetera. But it exists today in high performing companies. So technology and data, like everywhere else, is a very integral part of HR today.
Great
no
response.
Doubt.
Great response. Thank you. Bill, you've run businesses across the globe. So my next few questions are about managing global teams.
Yeah.
And my first question there is, what are some of the challenges and opportunities in managing a global and remote workforce?
Yeah. You know, I think the headline there would be the balance and the cultural integration that is required in a global company, to your point.
Yeah.
Respect the region, the country, the global differences, the cultural differences and values, right? But at the same time, the balance of having a business strategy and a line of business that wants to perform, you know, across the world, right? You know, my example at Citi, we would call it a matrixed environment,
yep.
right? Where you would support an overall business strategy in wherever part of the world, headquarters, whatever, but you would understand that there are differences that need to be appreciated and respected from a global point of view. So that interaction and that balance between executives that are on the ground in Citi had 100 countries that it did business in, right? Versus a business strategy line of business is an interesting balance. And then, of course, Ash, the communication challenges, right? And to be clear, when you're trying to manage a global remit, how do you get the messages out there about what's important, strategic objectives, but at the same time, there must be an appreciation for differences that are inherent in a global platform, region,
correct.
Or
country. Correct. And the, you know, a related question for you is that, you know, you live in a country which is probably the most culturally diverse countries in the world. And when you look at a role like you have had across the world, you're now talking of different cultures, diverse employees. I wanted to ask you, how do human resource leaders manage such incredible diversity across countries and across cultures?
Yeah, again, an excellent question. And you're referring to, obviously, the term today of diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Correct. Right? Correct.
And how important that is to be integrated in the overall cultural fabric, right, of a company. And I would say, you know, Citi did a very good job at that and always was striving to get there. But there are differences. There are cultural differences. There are different ways to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I learned myself, right, the way I would interact with one of my Asian colleagues in terms of interaction versus a colleague in Latin America and how you connect with them is totally different in understanding the cultural differences. But to your point on diversity, equity, and inclusion, you have to have a stated intention, and it has to come from the top. And it has to be embedded in the values of the firm. And, you know, I would say, again, having spent 40 years at Citi, as it evolved, the idea that they could put metrics around representation, pay equity, and publicly state that, they were one of the first to be able to do that and measure it, right? Understanding that there are differences, whether it's women or underrepresented minorities. And Ash, as you know, it's different in different countries around the world.
Yeah.
What is understood and how is diversity defined? So I'd say to sum it up, it has to be embedded in leaders from the top. And by the way, leaders have to be held accountable for appreciating the importance of diversity throughout the firm. Very key aspect of success.
Yeah, very well said. And the other aspect also is culture. And, you know, Citi, for example, culturally, in terms of work culture and organizational culture, seems to give me the impression that it is similar whenever you enter a Citibank office anywhere in the world,
yeah,
what goes into building and maintaining a strong organizational culture?
Yeah. You know, again, I would say intentionally to be clear on the culture from the top of the house, right? Hire the type of individuals that are culture carriers, if you will. By the way, promote those individuals as well. And be very clear and intentional on your communications about what's expected if you're going to be successful at that firm. But I watched Citi's culture evolve over those decades that I was there. And there were, you know, differences in culture depending on the time and the leadership. But I would say, you know, here's what I tell students today, as we'll get to that. Do the due diligence of a company's culture and values, right? Make sure, and I always would quote this, quote, I want to work for a company whose culture and values are aligned with culture and values that are important to me, and do that due diligence. So I think the top performing companies understand that, and they're very intentional, but they hold leaders accountable. Those that don't embrace, and there are certainly some, right, are told, you know, you're not, if you will, managing through the way Citi's culture and values are meant to be.
Well said. So one more question relating to human resources, then I want to move to coaching. We spoke a few minutes back about the role of the HR leader or the CHRO and being a part of the very key C-suite. How does human resources align with overall business strategy and goals of an organization?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think the first response to that would be, as I reflect back, you need to understand the business that you're running from an HR point of view. And I would always strive, as I said earlier, to be a business-driven person first, just happen to like the people stuff, right? But if you're at the C-suite and you're influencing the CEO and his or her leadership team, you have to truly understand their business objectives, and you have to be able to have credibility to influence that CEO and the leadership team to, if you will, manage an integrated human capital strategy. So I think it's a two-way street, Ash, between truly understanding the business objectives and then having the ability and the credibility to influence the C-suite team, if you will, around the importance of an HR strategy and how that provides. You know, quickly, the what I like to say is that balance between a high-performing organization is meets and exceeds its business strategy and goals, but at the same time, the employees of the firm feel appreciated, they've been assimilated, they're respected, and they can have a career path. So that balance, that creates, in my view, what a high-performing company is all about.
Well said. Great response. So now let's talk about your new avatar, which is as a coach.
Yes.
You founded Early Career Executive Coaching. So my first question is, what is your core philosophy when it comes to coaching earlier career professionals?
Yeah. I have a passion for this space. You know, obviously over the years at Citi, I work with C-suite executives, and it's great and fun most of the time, not all the time, to be able to do that. But my passion has always been, I spent a lot of time at Citi with students seeking internships and their first full-time jobs, and then those making their first and second career move. And, you know, my philosophy is you need to have a structured approach, right? If you're looking for first internship or first job, and you have a general idea about what you want, but you don't know everything, and you need to start early. One of the things I found with university students is some of them are all over it, and they start early and they get it, and others wait till the last year of their university life, and they're not sure, you know, what they want to do. But I think that the other thing is my philosophy is align your core skills that you're good at with the roles that you're applying for and make sure the likelihood of you being happy in that role, because you bring good core skills, you understand the culture as we've discussed, and you start early and you have a very intentional approach, which is one of the gaps I found with early career, they don't have a way to bring it all together.
Well said. And what are some of the common challenges you have seen early career professionals facing as they start to climb up that corporate ladder?
Yeah. You know, I think often it's when you're very early on, let's say a university student, my profile is university student, and I work with those 6 to 8 to 10 years into career, what I call early career, right? It's again, what do I want to do? How do I want to succeed? And they don't know. So one of the challenges often is I could try this industry and role or this one here. Is this really right for me? Will these skills align? You know, how does the ideal job, I offer an ideal job reflection, right? Mm-hmm. And that ideal job, if you had a perfect 10, what would it be? And of course, nobody ever, right, can get a perfect 10. But if you think about it, so the challenges really are to identify the industries, the companies, and the roles that are best going to suit you. But then you have to be very structured in the approach.
Right.
You know, I often talk about the importance of networking, if you will. Mm-hmm. Networking is gold. Mm-hmm. And if you just randomly apply, especially today, to jobs, chances are, you know, it's you might get a response, but it's going to be hard. So if you really are intentional about your networking, you enhance your interviewing skills, and you take the time to research when you're setting up for an interview, to really research what that company is all about and distinguish yourself in that interview. Those that do it overcome those challenges and find the good jobs.
Very interesting. So, you know, you spoke about networking, and my next question is about personal branding. And personal branding is becoming, you know, equally important for even young leaders. How do you guide individuals in building and enhancing their personal brands?
Yeah. Ash, to be honest, this is one of my favorite topics. I've been talking about this probably by mistake, right? 25 years ago, and I still talk about it today, right? Mm-hmm. I think your personal brand is critical in maximizing your career success. Mm-hmm. And what it is the ability to define it for yourself, but most importantly, to align it and make sure that the way you think you're coming across in the workplace, or quite frankly, even in your personal life, is the way other people are receiving you. I like to say around the obligatory water cooler, if that still exists today, right?
Yeah.
So often people think their positive brand attributes and their opportunity areas are one thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they test for alignment, they find out it may not be. And that leads to the problem. So, you know, understanding your personal brand and how you present yourself, because everybody, as you well know, is always assessing, right? Who's Bill? What's this guy all about? And is it sincere and authentic? So I love to talk about this topic. It's intuitively obvious, but often missed, that it could be a very important aspect of your career success.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. And maybe after a few months, I'll schedule another conversation to talk only about personal branding for early career executives. You know, I'm amazed at the passion you have for personal branding. Yes. So time for two or three more questions.
Yeah.
My next question, Bill, is can you discuss some common career derailers? And I've often seen this, you know, people start off young, you know, leaders enter an organization, they rise through for the first 5-7 years, and then suddenly there's attrition that starts to happen.
Yeah.
I'd love to get your perspective.
Yeah. Well, my first one would be what we just talked about. Yeah. A career derailer is you're misaligned. Yeah. You think you have a path and you're coming across and you're trusted and respected, and many are, right, in the workplace.
Mm.
And then people are saying, that's not the individual that I want on my team for whatever reason. So they're unaware.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest career derailers is not being aware and not getting the feedback, the honest feedback, and asking for it, right? And understanding. And then, you know, I think the second part of that, and we know the people who are this way, going that extra mile, being the ones that are most motivated. If you're not, it's going to be a derailer at some point. And then to your point, 5, 6 years in, you don't have the path that you are hoping for.
Yeah.
And you haven't put in a failure to build the leadership or the positive relationships is another big aspect of career derailment. And then you get disgruntled.
Correct.
And how much of that could have been avoided, right? If you truly understood. But as you know, different than in my generation and perhaps yours, right? As we're relatively close in age. Today, doing 40 years at a company is not happening, right?
Absolutely.
Because the millennials and the Gen Zs, every 2 or 3 years, they're moving on. So I think those that are aware of how to distinguish themselves and go the extra mile, get ahead and ask for those career opportunities that may be on their mind.
Great response. Thank you. So time for two more questions. And these questions are now for you, Bill. How has your background as such a tall HR leader in a global organization supported your coaching philosophy, your style, and your values?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I think as I reflect on my leadership values, of how I like to maybe treat individuals and appreciation, my own personal motivation to succeed, and, you know, not always getting there, lots of ups and downs, right? Being somebody who can communicate and connect with people, I have found has been very helpful for me. And being informal yet approachable and relevant, not only to young professionals, but to anybody, especially if you're in HR, right? And so, you know, I've tried to live those values. Trust me, I have my own gaps in my own personal brand, and everybody does, right? But being self-aware about them. So, you know, I've tried to be a clear and intentional leader and bring others along with me. And I've had wonderful teams that I've worked with at the firm. And but you have to be aware of the way you're coming across yourself as a professional leader. So my values and my leadership attributes, I've tried to be consistent around that.
Very well said. Thank you. And my last question for you, Bill, how have you been shaped by people in your life? And how have they, or how are they influencing you as a coach today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have to say the biggest influence are in my life, and many would say this, has been my dad, who's, you know, long passed. And watching him and growing up and watch the way he treated others, the way he set positive examples, treated myself and my siblings, and the values that were espoused there, you look up to that. And to this day, I think had a great impact on me and who I'd want to be and how I'd want to manage that in my own life. And then secondly, at very early on in my professional career, having a leader happened to be at Citi who really was very intentional about helping me establish a foundation. And you'd watch this leader and the way they would manage, and you'd see some of the attributes, some of them, you know, very tough on early career people at that time, like myself. But I remember, you know, the time today of, you know, several leaders that sort of formed my understanding of how to be successful in corporate life. So, and we all have those, you know, as we go through our careers. Yeah. Well, my dad and leaders that I work
fantastic, with. Fantastic. And I'm hearing such a strong sense of gratitude from you, not just for your dad and your senior leaders, but you've spoken so many times about the teams you have worked with.
Yeah.
But Bill, on that note, thank you so much for speaking to me about your own amazing journey. Thank you for talking to me at such length about human resources and the role you have played for 4 decades at the helm of Citibank, leading teams across the whole world. Thank you also for giving me a new perspective on several aspects of coaching.
Yeah,
thank you Ash, for speaking to me, and good luck.
My sincere appreciation. Thank you very much, Ash.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.